Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Pastor Scott and Jenny, I just love you guys. You're so amazing and fun and real. And I want to echo what this fabulous couple said. We have Easter services this weekend. Please, please, please bring your friends. Don't just invite them, bring them. Bring them. Say, I will drive you. I will meet you. We've staggered our services in such a way that you can either have brunch with them beforehand and then come to church together, or come to church and then go for lunch afterwards. But there is no more valuable thing you can do with your gift of speech than invite someone to church and introduce them to Jesus. Really, there's going to come a day. There's a beautiful old hymn that puts it this way: one day that the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And I think at that point, each and every single one of us are going to be thinking not so much about all the things that we did to build our own lives, but more, what did we do to build the lives of others? So grab one of these. We put it in a convenient six-pack for you. So make it a goal to give away all six of those invitations this week. That's like one a day, right? One a day. Be intentional. Pray before you go. Then we have Hero coming. And I'm telling you, I've seen every Cirque du Soleil under the sun. They're all the same. All the same. None of them have a story that makes sense. I remember sitting in one thinking, and everybody's just like going nuts. I'm like, why am I so unimpressed? Like, I love that you can jump off things. And yes, I guess it's awesome. But there's no point. At the end of it, I just want to feel something more than whatever it was they were trying to communicate as they danced around and jumped off things. So Hero has a point. Hero has a point. It has a followable storyline. It's exciting. So really do start to invite your friends to that. We're going to have a great, great couple of weeks in the house of God. Can somebody say amen? All right. It looks like you're ready for the word. You ready? All right, we're right in our Thank God It's Sunday series. So I'm excited to share with you this morning a message called The Father's House. I'm going to be sharing from a passage of scripture that many people would know, even those who don't really attend church. It's the story of the prodigal son found in the book of Luke. Let's hit it, fellas. I'm going to read from the screen. Luke chapter number 15, verse 11 through to verse 32. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. And I love how Jesus told stories, don't you? Yes. People sometimes go, I don't like those churches where they tell stories and they add their own twist. Jesus added his own twist, just so you know. Yes. So he goes, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. Interesting. Let's stop for a second. That typically, when you feel like you want to get up to no good, you always have to move to a distant land to get it done, right? Out of the eyesight and vision of your father, I'm going to go to a distant land, right? So this is what this son does. About this time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. Stop right there. Okay, I love this part, and I know everybody goes, oh, so sad. But I actually like this prodigal son. Do you know why? When he lost everything, and it's clear from the story in the Bible that he was quite a pampered young man, When he lost everything, he didn't sit down in the dumps and say, woe is me. He went out and got a job. He got a job. I reckon that's a word for somebody today. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, you can persuade someone to hire you. So there's something admirable about this prodigal son. Okay, let's keep going. The young man became so hungry, and can I say right here, sometimes we think, you know, this is the enemy, and I'm telling you that the God can do things in such a way where he will use the famine moments in our life to compel us and draw us back to him. Amen. Thank you. He became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Sometimes we curse our past, our painful past, but I'm telling you, it's the painful past that leads us back to Christ. When he finally came to his senses, it's a good day for all of us right there, somebody say amen. He said to himself, at home, in my father's house, I'm adding stuff, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. Look at this example, friends. So he's going back in his memory to remembering what it felt like in his father's house. And when he looked at the world around him, full of betrayal, full of fair weather friends who were with him in the high time, but abandoned and neglected him when all the money had run out, he remembered his father's house. Isn't that exciting? The example of God's house. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. Again, I want to stop for a second because I want to talk about the importance of repentance. You know, it's not often these days in church that we hear about our need for forgiveness. We hear about the Savior Jesus. We hear about the fact that God does forgive. But when was the last time you acknowledged the fact that you had something that you needed to be forgiven of? And I love this because the prodigal comes back with a repentant heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that to repent, therefore, to the Lord, and then times of refreshing will come. Perhaps some of us here in the place today have been living in a dry desert of a lifetime, and it's simply because we haven't repented. We haven't turned around and gone back to our Father's house and to the hand of our Father. He says, I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, he doesn't even acknowledge that statement. He's like, yeah, whatever. We're not even going to acknowledge your feelings of unworthiness. I'm just going to show you. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to show you how worthy you are right here. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe. Somebody say the finest robe. In the house. And put it on him. Get a ring for his finger. Someone say, get a ring for his finger. And sandals for his feet. Say, sandals for his feet. This is all going to matter in the few moments ahead, all right? And kill the calf we have been fattening. Somebody yell, kill the calf. Oh, you savages. You savages. What would you do if Peter was in here? Okay. We must celebrate with a feast. Somebody say, celebrate. Oh, yes, I like that word. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found because someone invited him to Easter services at C3 San Diego North Campus next weekend and then went another step and invited him to Hero. So the party began. Somebody shout hallelujah, praise God, give God a shout of praise and celebration. Oh, how sad that for so many years, so many people have thought that God was boring. He likes to party, friends. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk. Well, I'm going to talk. You're going to listen. But I'm just going to keep it casual today because, look, I really felt to speak about the articles of clothing and the accessories that the Lord dressed the son in when he returned to the father's house. Because the truth is, every single one of us are all prodigals in some way or another. The Bible tells us that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God was given to us. His name is Jesus Christ. And through Christ, we are able to be redeemed. We are being able to be transformed, and we are able to have new life through him. We've all been prodigals. We've all been guilty of living a selfish life. Really, when I look at my own life, the greatest problem I have is not the devil. It's me. It's me. You know the old pogo comic? I have seen the enemy, and he is me. Tell you what, the devil's small potatoes compared to me. I have to start with the man in the mirror. And I'll often do a selfish quotient test on myself. How selfish am I? Do this test. And you know, I have to do it typically daily. Bible says that if any man wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself first. Take up his cross and follow me. So the big deal isn't so much fighting the devil, but fighting me. We're all prodigals. We all need to come home to the Father with a repentant heart. And so I love what the Father does when the Son comes home. And I want to be as brief as possible because I want to pray for people. But I want to talk about the things that he does for the Son. The first thing is he gives him a robe. Friends, it's the robe of righteousness. It's a robe that you cannot earn on your own. And I love that the Bible says that the Father says, quick, bring the finest robe. Do you know what the finest robe is that the Father has? It's the robe that his Son Jesus paid a high price for us to wear. And I love it when the Father says quick, because it infers that God can do an instant work. See, do you know why he can do it quickly? Do you know why he can give us that robe of righteousness for our sinful, dirty, pig-slopped garments? Do you know why he can do it quickly? Because it's got nothing to do with our strength. We'd still be trying to work that thing out today if it was up to us. Oh, I don't know how to get this stain out. There is no Tide. There is no bleach. There is nothing you can do. He said, bring it quick, because it's literally an exchange. Jesus said, I'm going to pay the highest price so you can wear my sparkling robe of righteousness. Here's how the Bible puts it in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter. Somebody needs to have this matter settled in them today. Listen to this. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Listen, when you receive the robe the Father gives you, you exchange your filthy robe that's covered in the pig slop. I mean, can you imagine this Son coming home after sitting in a pen with pigs? Everything he'd experienced. And what I love about God is, yes, he has compassion for us in our mess, but he doesn't leave us that way. He has compassion for us in our brokenness, and he will take us as we are, but he loves us too much to have us stay that way. Now, there's a theory out there, and I perhaps maybe even I believe it. I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought, but there is a theory out there that says, I was born this way. I have no control over my life or my actions or what I feel or what I think because I was born this way. And maybe that's true. Maybe it is true. I'm not going to argue with you. But the Bible tells us in John chapter number 3, verse 9 or 10, that Jesus has a conversation with a man, and the man comes to him. His name is Nicodemus, and he comes to him and says, it's clear that God is with you. You're doing incredible miracles. Great things are happening. How can I have what you have? And Jesus responds to this man, Nicodemus, and he says, listen, each man is born once of the human, but in order for you to be born again spiritually, you have to be born by the Spirit of God. You must be born again. So listen, you may have been born a certain way, with certain bents, with certain dysfunctions, with certain leanings to certain ways, but that's why Jesus said, you can be born again. You're born again. What does the Bible tell us in Corinthians? You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is good news, friend. Because the enemy may have been whispering in your head, you'll never change, you can't change, it's impossible. It's unfair of people to expect it from you. Listen, that's why God came and he said, I'm going to make it so you're born again. Reset. Reset. We're going to start again. All those who are in Christ are a new creation in Jesus' mighty name. Now look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 to 11. And it may scare you a little bit, but it's actually quite an empowering and liberating verse. It says this, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes... I don't know why they're leaving out female right there. I reckon that's probably just as bad. So we'll just add that too. Or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, sounds like bad news. Because I reckon many of us could locate ourselves somewhere in one of those things. And then Paul goes on to say, some of you were once like that. But then he goes on to say, but you were cleansed. You were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So I reckon there's people in this building today and you've been believing a lie of the enemy. He's sold you a whammy and he's told you you will never change. Listen, we don't change for God. We change through God. We don't change so we can be accepted by our Father. We are accepted by our Father so we can change in Jesus' name. And it doesn't come down to your works and your strength and your striving. He says, quickly, bring the best robe. Let me share you a little story about a personal breakthrough I had. It's a very shallow one because I don't feel like telling you my dirty secrets today, okay? So I'm going to talk to you about how the fact I was addicted to Diet Coke, right? Which Kelly Hillard thinks is quite evil, but I'm sure many people around here are going, whatever, get a real problem. All right. Okay, I do have real problems. I just don't feel led to tell them today. So I'm going to share you this one, all right? And the same principles apply from the little thing to the big thing. So I'm drinking Diet Coke thinking it's making me skinny, all right? So you can have the Big Mac combo, just have it with a Diet Coke, all right? It cancels it out. So I'm living large on the Diet Coke. I would drink, I guess, probably half a litre a day. You guys don't understand litres. Somebody smart yell out what a litre is. There you go. 30 mils or more. 30 mils? Is that a lot? No, I don't know. Ah! I wasn't good at math. A lot of Diet Coke. A large quantity of Diet Coke every day. And I used to just claim scriptures over my life going, if I drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm me, right? I would try to like prophesy my way out. And my dad is a bit of a health nut. He was a vegetarian for the first portion of my life, which I personally don't agree with, but he loved being vegetarian. He apparently vegetarians do live 10 years longer, just so you know. 10 sad, pointless... baconless years. That got a standing ovation from the fellas. So I'm drinking this Diet Coke and my dad would hate it. Like he would hate it. And every time he would come over from Australia, he'd be like, oh, I just wish you wouldn't drink that rubbish. And he'd pull up all these reports and all the things that it did. And I'd be like, Dad, you've got no faith. Don't you know the scripture where the Bible says I can drink anything harmful and it will be by no means harm me? But it was almost like I was obviously being very obnoxious and annoying, but it was almost like now I had this revelation, okay, that this was no longer the right way to live, but I was trying to kind of excuse my way out of it through the scriptures. And I felt God speak to me and go, hey, you're going to listen to your dad. He's speaking wisdom. And so I was standing in the kitchen as Dad was doing his yearly Diet Coke rant, and I had a Diet Coke in my hand, and I picked it up, and I poured it down the sink. I said, Dad, I will never drink another Diet Coke again. And you know what? I haven't. I haven't. And let me tell you why. Here was the shift, because I've got to be honest with you, I tried 2 times previously to give up Diet Coke and was unable to, felt like I was unable to. And I just thought, this is it, my one vice, I don't swear much, I don't smoke. This is the one thing, the Diet Coke, right? So I was holding on to it. And so I'd eventually just end up giving in to temptation. But this time was different. Do you know why? Because I changed the way I looked at it. I'd be eating my regular meal and I'd be thinking to myself, oh my gosh, a Diet Coke would be so nice right now. But then I'd tell myself, Leanne, you're not a Diet Coke drinker anymore. I didn't go, oh, I want it so bad, but I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to indulge this temptation even though I really feel like it. No, I changed the way I viewed it altogether. I don't drink Diet Coke. I am not a Diet Coke drinker anymore. And just like me, you may have come into the kingdom, received that robe of righteousness with a bent toward a certain behavior. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's some kind of sexual sin. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety or worry or rebellion. Maybe it's one of those things. And then you'll go and your bent will be to go do that same behavior. But just remind yourself, I am not that way anymore. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm wearing a robe of righteousness. My pig slobbed robe has been taken off my back, and now I am wearing the robe that Jesus paid a high price for me to wear. I am not that way anymore. Listen, if you can control what you drink, you can control what you think. You can control who you let in your bedroom. You can control what you watch on the internet or on the television. You can control what you put in your veins. Don't diminish the small thing. I'm telling you, how you deal with the small thing is how you'll deal with the big thing. Have a revelation today that you have been cleansed. You're seated in a place of victory. Jesus paid a high price for that victory, and you're wearing the trophy of his victory on the cross on your back, so you can live righteously. Sin no longer has power over you. You have power over you. What are you going to do with that power? Are you going to indulge that sinful nature that is dead? Resurrect that thing like a zombie from the grave that just won't die? Or are you going to walk in the new you, the new creation? I'm not a Diet Coke drinker anymore. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, what's the second thing he gives him? A ring of authority. He put a ring on his finger. This ring, when you look back into the days and the times that this story was spoken, spoke of the authority of the person who was wearing the ring. They could buy and sell. They could command people to do certain things. This ring signified the authority of the person who was wearing it, of the father, the household, so they could make all kinds of transactions. And so it's so significant that the father puts this ring on his son. I want to preface this by saying there are many churches in America today that are going to teach you that you are not empowered as a believer. If you're in one of those churches, don't walk, run away from that church. Any teaching that teaches you that God is limited or that your power through Christ is limited is not going to make you smarter. It's going to make you dumber. I've met a lot of people that have gone to colleges and universities in search of a degree and have been talked about out of the fact that you know, God is the most powerful being on planet Earth. And they think they're so smart. I'm smarter than all of them. Because I understand that my father has put a ring on my finger, a ring of authority. And he's given me the power to walk in that authority on planet Earth. I'm telling you, some churches will kick you out for that. You know, Jesus said this. He goes, go out and heal the sick. He didn't even just go say, pray for the sick. He said, heal them. Some of us have been pleading for God to do what he has given us authority to release. Be healed in Jesus' name. to life in Jesus' name. God has given you authority as a believer. He doesn't put us on a jacked up earth and say, yeah, sorry. You're just going to walk around harassed and helpless, disempowered. He's given us authority. In fact, Jesus said again in the Gospels, he says, I have given you all authority. Somebody say all authority.
All authority.
Over the power of the enemy. God has given you authority, friends. And I strongly believe today that there are Christians here, people that have been compelled into the house of the Father, that have received the robe of righteousness, but you are not walking in the authority of the ring that your Father gave you. You're tolerating things in your home that you should not tolerate. Wow. And listen, I've been there.
Wow.
I remember when my husband was an itinerant minister. He used to travel and preach. And it felt like every time he went away, things would just fall apart in the home. Kids would get sick. I can't even tell you how many trips we made to the emergency room, to the point where I had my Tommy at the doctor's and the doctor was looking up like his past history. He goes, oh my gosh, has this boy been sick? And it suddenly dawned on me. And I went home and I was trying to, again, like, well, I guess this is just part of the mandate. My husband's a minister. I need to expect a level of warfare and a level of attack. You know what? Sure. Maybe when we continue to walk with God or advance ground for the kingdom, the enemy might come in with a counterattack. But it doesn't mean we have to accept it. It doesn't mean we have to lie down and let the devil walk over us like a flipping doormat. And maybe there are people here today and there's sickness in your home. It's plagued your family, or financial distress, or relational problems, or problems with all kinds of spirits that are tormenting your kids, and you're just sitting back and you're not stepping up in your authority as a son or a daughter of God and remembering you're wearing the ring of authority, so you can have all authority over the power of the enemy. And you know what? I started to shift. I started to pray differently. I started to believe differently. I started to take communion at home. Many of you think that communion is a 5-minute little message once a month at church on a Sunday. It is way more powerful than that. And I want to encourage you, if you're leaving your communion taking to services here at church, then you're not doing it enough. Jesus said to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? Christ's victory on the cross, his victory over sin and death. So I started to take communion. I became like a communion warrior. And you know, you get your little cracker and your wine or your grape juice, depending on what side you lean there. And you pray and you enforce the blood over your family. Just as in Egypt, when the Israelites were captives in Egypt, and God said to them, I want you to get the blood of the lamb and I want you to splatter the doorposts of your household. And when that spirit of death comes over, it must pass over because it cannot touch what is covered by the blood of the lamb. Mother, father, single person, are you enforcing the blood in your home? Are you declaring right now your authority over all the power of the enemy? Your kids don't have to go the way of the crowd. Your children do not need to be overcome with terrors and nightmares and illness. The enemy cannot steal from you if you stand up in your authority. Bible tells us in John chapter number 10, verse 9, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. What does the thief take? Somebody tell me what a thief takes. Something that doesn't belong to him, exactly. So why are you letting him? It's yours. Oh, I guess the devil's coming to get that. Well, slap his freaking hand. Tell him to back off in Jesus' name. You can't have it. You can't have my kids. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my mental health. You cannot have my finances. You can't take it. You can't take it. You can't take it. I tell you what, I hate the devil. Oh, I hate him, hate him, hate him. And I love to torment the tormentor. And the best way to do that is to remind him of what Christ won for us on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Listen, we were in Virginia Beach just recently, Pastor Brianna and I, and I got word that my dog was sick. It's a big deal for me because I love animals. Any more animal lovers in the house today? All the nice people. So I'm like, because I'm out there preaching the gospel. So, and Jürgen calls me and tells me my dog's sick. I'm like, oh no, devil. You ain't taking my dogs. You ain't taking my kids. You ain't taking my peace or my joy. So I was in there getting ready for a message. And so I got just water and broke off like this tiny little fig bar. I'm like, this will do for communion. And I got into full warfare for my dog. And you know what? She's fine. She's doing good. She's doing good. Yeah, and I know you think that's pathetic, but you just don't know how much authority you have right there. I remember another time my son was in trouble. It was a hard time. And I was scheduled to preach at a women's conference in Los Angeles. And they said to me, listen, we'll understand if you can't come. We'll understand if you can't come. And I thought about it for a second. And I guess part of me wanted to run and hide for a bit and cry and feel sorry for myself. But I thought, no way. That's just what the devil wants. I'm going to go and get a whole lot of people saved. I'm going to go get a whole lot of people their breakthrough. I'm going to go pray for a lot of people to be delivered of the devil and tormenting spirits. And I'm going to hit the devil right between the eyes and send him back to hell from where he came. You got some authority, friends. There are zero excuses for you to walk around as a disempowered believer. Wake up and pray. Wake up and start to pray and start to totally release the authority that God has given you to walk in as a believer. I reckon we need to start to declare like the prophet MC Hammer. Devil, you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Because I walk in the authority of my Father. Somebody today is going to go home and you're going to start to walk in a new authority and a new anointing in your home. And you're going to stop letting the enemy ransack and take what does not belong to him anymore. All authority has been given unto you in Jesus' name. Now somebody needs to say amen. Amen. Point number three, the sandals of purpose. Gives him some bling. Gives him an awesome new robe, but then he puts the ultimate accessory on his feet, sandals. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given unto you. I'm telling you, God's house, the Father's house, is a house where dreams and destiny is unlocked. Man, when I look at my life, oh my gosh, I honestly thought the greatest thing that I was going to give the world was a pretty face, and I have delivered on that. I just like to do that every now and then because you know how everybody wants to be self-deprecating, and I am, but I just need to go ahead and say it sometimes because I know it stirs up the religious people so much, and I love doing that. Love it. One of my favorite things. Love pushing that envelope. So anyway, besides the pretty face, I didn't think that I had a whole lot to offer. One of five girls, and forgive me for repeating myself, family members who have been here for a while. But honestly, I didn't. I just thought, whoa, okay, then you need to hang on to those looks for as long as you can because that's all you got going for you, girl. But then I read the Bible says that beauty is fleeting. I'm like, oh, shoot. All right, better get some other skills. You know, how amazing. In the house of God, here I am, 10th grade education, a 10th grade education. I struggle to this day to help my daughter with her second grade math. I still don't know greater than, less than, which alligator eats the... I'm like, homeschooling, said no one ever. But here I am. I get to preach the gospel to thousands and thousands of people. I'm invited to places to speak into the lives of other women and men and other churches. God has taken me places that I could never have dreamed I could get on my own, because in the Father's house, He will put sandals of purpose on your feet and take you places that will blow your mind. He can do exceedingly abundantly above, the book of Ephesians tells us, all we could ever hope, ask, or imagine. This is the place of dreams right here, my friends. Hollywood isn't the place of dreams. The Father's house is the place of dreams, in Jesus' name. And He can redeem your past, just so you know. You can come to God any which way. You can come to Him just like the prodigal, all kinds of messed up and soiled, feeling like you don't have anything to give. It doesn't matter. When you put your life in God's hands, He can do something beautiful with the pain of your past. God is the best recycler in the world. The best recycler in the world. The Bible tells us that He gives us beauty for ashes, that He turns our mourning into dancing. I was just recently at a wedding of a beautiful young couple in our church, and some of you may know this couple, Colby and Isaac Gardner. And it was a beautiful experience, and it was made more powerful by the fact that I know, as many of you do, and I feel free to share this because Isaac has shared this, I know that young man's past. He came to us, he accidentally came to church. Someone told him, do you want to come to a concert? It was Empower Conference. He was a drug dealer from New York. Talk about the prodigal coming home. But who would have thought this guy who was leading people to drug addiction had now become born again, was a new creation, and now leads people to Jesus? I'm telling you, God can use the pain of your past to set you up for a bright future. My gosh, if you can lead people to drugs, you can lead them to Jesus. All God needs is a life of surrender. God can turn your life around and give you purpose, my friend. He has given you a purpose. It's time for you to walk in it. Put those shoes on your feet. Let me close by telling you a story. Actually, no, I got one more point. What's the time? 11:19. Good. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because there's probably some new people. How many people remember my story about Lucky from South Auckland? Lucky. All right. A few of you. Good. All right. Time for a repeat. So Lucky was a member of our church in South Auckland many, many years ago. Pastor Jürgen and I were youth pastors at a church in South Auckland, New Zealand. Now, this area was as lower class as you could possibly imagine for a first world country. Crime like you wouldn't believe. Just so you have an understanding, about 90% of the girls in our youth ministry had been sexually abused. It was a very, very dysfunctional part of the world. And at this particular time, it was about, I guess, 1993, 1994, revival was sweeping through the churches in South Auckland. And so many gang members were getting saved. And here enters Lucky. Lucky got saved. He got powerfully delivered. And he started attending our church in South Auckland. And he wanted to get involved wherever he could. And he'd heard the message. He'd heard the prodigal son message about God using your purpose and being able to use the giftings and the talents on the inside of you to build His kingdom. And so he's like, I can organize people. I can tell people what to do. I used to strike fear and terror in the hearts of the people around me. I want to be an usher. I want to be an usher. And so because we were a church of enormous need and not a whole lot of wisdom at the time, not only did we make Lucky an usher, we made him head usher, okay? It's amazing what desperation will lead, the decisions it will lead you to make. Anyway, so there was this one particular day, my pastor was preaching on stage, and there was a guy who was very, very distressed and became violent in the crowd. And all of a sudden, he stood up and was running toward our pastor as he was preaching. He was swearing, he was like flailing, he was throwing his fists and declaring that he was going to do all kinds of harm to our pastor. So Lucky's head usher, it was like, oh my gosh, here I come to save the day. You could just see this glint in his eye. Like Esther, this was his for such a time as this moment. And as this guy is running with ill intent toward my pastor, Lucky strides across. He grabs this guy in a headlock. He runs him outside. He uses his head to barrage open the swinging doors. And by this point, what is happening with Lucky and this poor old soul is far more interesting than anything that's happening in church. So we just all turn around, follow to see what would happen next. And as we come out the front, Lucky has him in a headlock and is repeatedly punching him in the stomach. And this is what he said: "Stop disrespecting the effing pastor." Yes, Lucky was being, I tell you what, he wasn't perfect, but he was being perfected. He had a little bit of residue. But I'm telling you today, God has got an incredible future and a hope for you. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, and they're good plans and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." God is going to use the relevance of your past to set you up for an incredible future where you live to build his kingdom. I'm telling you today, God's house is the place where dreams are reborn. Dreams come back to life. And I want to close by saying the last thing that the Father did was he celebrated. He celebrated. God's countenance. I want to talk to you about the importance of us understanding the true countenance of God. Because maybe you're like me and you grew up in a religious church and I thought God was always angry. God was always mad. His default setting was mad. And then waiting to shoot someone with lightning. And he was happy when people were weeping. Ah, good, that'll learn him. So I had to have a massive mind shift about the true personality and character of my Heavenly Father. And maybe some of you need to have that mind shift today. See, the prodigal son came home and he'd made all kinds of mistakes. He'd lived wastefully and wildly. He'd really just squandered his inheritance. And yet when he came home, he didn't come home to an angry, vengeful, mad father. The Bible says that when the father saw his son coming from afar off, he ran. He ran to his son, and the Bible says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he celebrated and he said, "Let's slaughter the fatted calf, because my son who was lost is now found." And the party began. You know, we've been accused of a lot of things at C3 San Diego, and some of them are true. Some of them are true. One of them is that we're just the party church. And I'm like, bring it. Yeah, we are. We are the party church because God is the party God. God is the God who celebrates. The Bible tells us that even one sinner who comes back to repentance, the whole of heaven, all of heaven's hosts rejoice over one lost son or daughter coming back into the house of God. So will we celebrate? Heck yeah, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party because God, our Heavenly Father, is a God who knows what it means to have a lost son come home again, and it is definitely worth rejoicing. So you're going to find at C3 San Diego, we're not the kind of people that walk around looking like we've been baptized in vinegar and lost our last friend. Everything's somber and intense all the time. We're going to have laughs. We're going to have fun. We might be a little bit naughty every now and then, a little bit mischievous, just to keep you on your toes. And you'll find if it bothers you, just say, "God, deliver me of that religious spirit. I thank you, you're a fun God. You're a celebratory God." Oh, the Bible says that the Lord sits on the flood and he laughs. Oh, he's a happy God. Bible tells us his anger may last for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. How does he draw us, friends? He draws us through his loving kindness. God celebrates. Celebrates. He's a God who celebrates. We are a church that celebrates. The Father's house is a house where celebration should be happening all the time. I'd love it if every head would be bowed, every set of eyes closed. I want to tell you today, you haven't stumbled across a service. You're not attending a service today. You've stumbled into a family, the family of God. And maybe today your experience of church has not been like family. People were shuffled in and shuffled out. Nobody knew each other. There was no connection. That's not how the Father's house was meant to be. Church is not a place you attend. It's a family you belong to. When the son came home, they didn't treat him as a hired servant. They treated him as a son. They celebrated at his return. And maybe you've been lonely. Maybe you are a Christian and you've been lonely. You've been searching for the true meaning of the Father's house. The Bible tells us that God puts the lonely in families. It also tells us that when our natural mother and father forsake us, that the Lord will take care of us. If you're here today, and maybe at some point in your life, you gave your heart to the Lord, but somewhere along the line, like the prodigal, you went off and did things your own way, and it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to give your life back to the Father again today. I'd love it if you'd lift your hand so I can pray with you. I see that hand. Wonderful, sir. So proud of you. Another hand. Beautiful, ma'am. Thank you. Is there anyone else today that I can pray for? I see that hand, sweetheart. Thank you. Wonderful, sir. Is there anyone else? Beautiful. I see your hand. I'm so proud of you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else today? Just a couple of moments before we come to a close. I see that hand, sir. Fantastic. And this one. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I'm going to ask everybody to applaud until everyone that raised their hand, if you raised your hand, come down so I can pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Sweetheart, if someone near you raised your hand, I want you to know today that God's celebrating. God's celebrating. What's your name, sweetheart? Megan, we met earlier. Yeah, I just see. I met both of you, I think. Yeah. I'm not seeing double right now. Twins, yes. Just see a new page, a new day for both of you. God's doing something new. God's stirring. There's been some things, but God's going to make all things work together for good. That's what I hear him saying today. He can take even the most broken pieces of our past and make something beautiful out of it. Have you seen those artworks where they get all those little broken pieces of glass and they make this beautiful mosaic? I just felt God say, you're going to become like a mosaic individually. Two mosaics. And he's going to get those little shattered pieces, the hurts, the regrets, the pains, the heartache, all those things that you think they just need to be thrown in the trash. God's going to make something beautiful. A beautiful future God's got for you girls. Beautiful future. God bless you. God bless you. Sir, hello. Hello. I'm so glad you came down. What's your name? Tony. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.